So we're at the live room again, and this time it's Kaya Cater, who's here in support of Tim O'Brien. Hello, Kaya.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you, very well. And very much looking forward to tonight. And you've been on tour now for a few gigs with Tim O'Brien. How's it been going?
It's been great. We're doing a week of touring, and we started in Glasgow and then moved on to Edinburgh. And now we're touring the rest of England. So we're doing Saltaire tonight, and then we're going to Bury tomorrow. And then we're ending our tour in Sheffield. Mm. Yeah. And then I'm going on by myself to do a show in London.
I've read a few things about where you're from. Whereabouts in Canada are you actually from?
Well, I moved around a lot as a kid, but I was born in Montreal and mostly raised in Montreal. And after that, I went to West Virginia for 4 years, actually. I went to college there. So I went there from the time that I was, 19 until recently, until last May. So I graduated when I was 22. And so the last year I've been out of school, and I moved back to Toronto just because most of my family had moved there by that point. And it's a really good hub in terms of touring, and it's a great city. And so that's where I'm based out of now.
So you started out with presumably influenced to some extent by Canadian music, and have your college years also influenced you being in West Virginia?
Yeah, it's been a really cool mix, actually. Like, I grew up in a fairly folky family. So my grandfather was an instrument builder, and he built guitars and mandolas and stuff. And my aunt was a singer for a while, and my mom ran folk festivals when I was a kid. And so I felt like that was the normal kind of family thing. And now, as a grown-up, I know that it's sort of pretty different from other people's families. And so, I grew up on, like, Kate and Anna McGarrigle and Loud and Wainwright and Joni Mitchell and Neil Young and, those songwriters I knew, I've known since time immemorial. So it's been a really strong influence on me. But I think I just wanted to get out of my city and my country and sort of experience music that I was drawn to on my own, and I was a really big fan of old-time music. And so I went to college in a little town called Elkins, West Virginia, and it was a really small college, and I signed up to do like a string band program, and it was sort of like an extracurricular thing, almost like a sports team. So during the day I'd study religion and philosophy, and then I'd go to string band class, and I also learned how to clog, how to dance, which was really fun. And I sort of felt like it was a time for me to expand my musical interests in a space that felt very safe. Because sometimes, like, when you're an artist, it's everything is pretty high stakes, I guess. And so you kind of have to know yourself before you're able to present yourself as an artist. And so I felt like that was the time that I was able to explore things and be creative. And it was in West Virginia that I wrote most of my last record.
Yeah, you've written the biggest part of your CD, and the others are traditional that you've arranged. So that really stands out as quite an achievement altogether, really.
Thanks very much. Yeah, and it's also why I'm so excited to open for Tim and to watch Tim do his thing, because I feel like he's an artist that really gracefully merges traditional music in a way that feels authentic and true to who he is. So it's a real privilege to be able to see him work every night.
We enjoyed talking with Tim last time he was here, and also picking up on his desire to get his music and his songs out as quickly as possible, to put them on the web, before they're out any other way. And enjoyed also appreciated the political comment that he doesn't hesitate to make. What direction do you see your own songwriting going?
That's a great question, because Nine Pin, my last record, is almost a year old now, so it's sort of like the time for what my next moves are. And I'm definitely going to put a focus on songwriting and try and express myself, I think, as artfully as possible, and as truthfully as possible. And there is a very sort of turbulent political climate going on, and I don't think that can go unnoticed or unspoken. So I won't try and force it, but I think that ultimately, you know, Nina Simone said that an artist's job is to reflect the times, and so I hope that my next record will achieve that in some way.
Mm-hmm. So what drew you to the banjo?
Well, actually, even though my family is pretty folky, when the soundtrack to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou came out, I felt like my entire, you know, my close family discovered bluegrass music for the first time. And even though folk music and bluegrass music are so closely related, it was almost like we didn't have any concept of bluegrass as a genre or as a genre that especially would have like a community and festivals and stuff like that. So when we discovered it through Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, like Ralph Stanley and Gillian Welch and, you know, Dan Tominski and people like that, real heavy hitters, it was like it opened up this new universe. And so we started going to the Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival in upstate New York. And that was actually where I first saw Tim O'Brien play. So I must have been 8 or 9. We went for a long time. And and likewise at that festival, they have a program called the Bluegrass Academy for Kids. And so during the festival, parents can send their kids to this Bluegrass Academy during the day and, you know, go off and listen to music. And the kids learn like 3 tunes or something, 3 really simple tunes, and then perform them on the main stage at the end of the weekend. And so I would go each time trying out a new instrument. So the first time I went trying out the bass, and that didn't work for me. And then I tried out the fiddle, and that didn't work for me. And I was drawn to Scruggs banjo, but ultimately I ended up seeing people like Uncle Earl, you know, bands like Uncle Earl and Rhiannon Giddens, and I really liked the clawhammer style, and then I saw Cold Mountain, and then I discovered Riley Bagas and Dirk Powell, and I sort of got drawn into old-time music more than anything. And I had a teacher also who was a really great clawhammer player. And I think that was just sort of like the avenue that I took into old time. But I still really have a lot of appreciation for bluegrass, and I don't feel like bluegrass and old time should be enemies. Mm. I feel like they're siblings.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were listening last night to Susan Herndon from Oklahoma, and one of her the title track to her album a while ago was "Lay Me Down." Lay me down, fill me up, cover me over with red dirt and bluegrass.
Oh, that's great.
What about the touring side of things? Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, my record came out in May, and it was actually a kind of a crazy time for me because I graduated and released the record in the same month, which was kind of insane, but in a really good way. And so I was pretty determined to, like, you know, be able to tour right out of the gate. Mm. And so that's what I did, and it's been ramping up more and more. I was really lucky to be able to support Chris Drever for a couple of dates for his record, and so it's been great. I feel like these slots have been good, I think, in terms of just helping me watch masters. Mm. And that's the thing, is that you can always keep learning, you know? And so, yeah, it's been good. It's been a definite change. I think some separation from friends or family who don't know what touring is like. But then I also feel like I've discovered a community of people out in the world, which is a privilege.
Mm-hmm. And meeting audiences in different kinds of venues that you haven't met before, is there quite a buzz about that?
Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes you don't realize maybe the impact something you've written has had on someone until they walk up to a table and tell you. Mm. And to me, I think that's the best part, you know, because everything else is a slog. You know, getting on the train or getting in the car, getting to the gig and doing all the things and doing the promo. And, you know, but I think if you know that you've affected someone in a real way, then that sort of helps.
Now that sounds like there's a little bit of a crossover there with having studied philosophy and theology. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my philosophy teacher used to always say, like, it doesn't matter what career you choose, philosophy will help you in some way. And it definitely has. Yeah. It's been good.
I hope that grounding will emerge more and more in you, that the music and the philosophy will run side by side. What about the community side of when you're at home? And so we're always interested in where people call home and how you're sustained, or where you play, or what nourishes you when you're in a home community.
Mm-hmm. Well, Toronto has a really great old-time scene. There's a lot of really good players coming out of Toronto. So when I'm at home, I feel challenged in a really good way, and I feel like I can't just rest on my laurels, you know, which sometimes, I mean, I've talked to musicians, and sometimes you have a tendency to, like, go out on the road and then just hide in your apartment cave because you're so exhausted or, you know, whatever. But, you know, I live with a guy named Jaron Freeman Fox, who's an incredible fiddle player, and he's always rehearsing. Like, he's always in his room practicing, and I feel like it kind of pushes me to also keep working on music even when I'm not on the road. And yeah, Toronto is just, it's a great city for music, and I think that it pushes you to be good. I think similar to New York, it's like you can't rest on your laurels, maybe.
That makes sense, because you might come across a guy called Ben Walker in Toronto sometime. He's a singer, guitarist, and used to live here, and the desire for excellence is something that certainly drives him. Good guy.
Yeah, it's a good community. Mm.
Yeah. Well, yes, and thank you very much for talking to us. I'm very much looking forward to tonight, and from what you're saying there, we will look forward to seeing you again in another year or two.
Thank you so much.